Hey gang, welcome. This is We Watch Stuff number 123. I'm Jeremy. I may sound different, not sure. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. I hope everyone's enjoying their days. I'm probably enjoying mine more than my co-star, but at least we both had the option that we can brag that we are going to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know I said we were going to talk Justice League, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. We already got our flight booked and everything. So yeah, so I'm all in. With our poor people seats, as Kevin and I call them.
Huh. I got my seats this morning.
Yeah, well, we're sitting in, I think, 549, but we're in the middle. So I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, we could have got, like, more expensive seats, but they were way off to the side. So, like, no, this seems to be a better option. So
yeah, I'd probably go. That's probably a good move for them. We're in section 117, the risers.
Oh, wow.
All yeah. Right. And I always aim, like, because I've gone enough times. It's kind of like, it's three sweet spots. If you're going to go all out, go front, and I would say, like, the first three, four rows. If not doing that, get, like, riser seats. Like, I wouldn't do any playing floor beside the first four rows. I wouldn't do anything, like, behind floor, and I wouldn't do, like, because it's kind of like everyone stands up, you can't see squat. So yeah. I learned my lesson when I did San Jose, and I did that. Like, I had floor seats, but I was like row 9 or row 10, so everything was fine until people stood up, and then it's kind of like you can't see anything because some jackass had to sign up. Yes. So I always go for like riser seats because like you're almost at the floor, but it's angled so you see everything, and even if people stand up, they're not going to get in your way. But if you can't get those, just go cheap seats middle.
Yeah, and it's funny because I also went to SmackDown Tuesday, and We were in section one something, but we were almost dead center. Those are the best seats that, I mean, I've had floor seats outside of, like, I've sat in the front row at, like, a house show, you know, whatever. But, like, for Raw or WrestleMania and that stuff, no, I've never been that close before. So that was pretty awesome. And then also, we had close seats for WrestleMania 27, but that was when they were just burgeoning, getting back into doing, like, the constant large stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
So we had great seats for, like, $100. And we paid $75 to sit near the top of the stadium this year.
Yeah. Prices went from $75 to $2,000.
I would love, honestly, I would love to do that $2,000 one. Just once.
Yeah, you should just do it definitely once in life. But it's kind of, it's funny where, like, the best seats, you have to get the whole package. Like, you can't buy them by themselves. Like, you can get front, like, the way they have it set up now, you can get front row up until, like, row four. But, like, row one through four, those all kind of, like, you know, you got to go there, get the NXT, Raw, SmackDown, Hotel Flight. Like, basically, like, the packages they have. I don't think they sell the tickets by themselves. I've checked. So,
yeah, when do NXT tickets go on sale?
Because
I've been looking and there's been nothing, which I understand they haven't announced a takeover, you know, New Orleans, but I mean, come on.
Hey, just follow Triple H, he'll let you know.
You know what? That's true. That is true. So, but before we get into Justice League, which we both saw and I think we both enjoyed, SmackDown, that's probably the best live event, like, non-WrestleMania that I've ever been to. That crowd was jacked. It wasn't real big. Like, the whole top of the Spectrum Center or Spectrum Arena, whatever it's called, was tarped off. But the bottom, you know, the lower bowl and the floor, all full. And when they brought out Ric Flair, dude, when they say it's Flair country, I mean, even now I'm getting, like, kind of chills about it. When they say that it is Flair country around here, that is not an exaggeration. When his music hit, that place went bananas. And then when he actually stepped out, I mean, I saw grown men with tears in their eyes. And I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just strange. I don't know. It's like Ric Flair with all the stuff he's been through, all the stuff he does, that he still has, like, that much of an impact on people after...
That's probably why.
40 years, I guess? Well, plus the fact he almost died a couple, like, what, a month ago?
It's kind of, I mean, just the whole build-up toward it, the fact that, you know, he almost died. We just had the 30 for 30 thing that was, like, it got, like, I think it had, like, the highest, like, 18 to 49 ratings, like, that night. Like, it had, it did awesome ratings, like, he's in the news. And then his daughter wins the title, basically, in their, like, you know, their adopted hometown. And then he comes out there after all that's happened. It's kind of like, you couldn't write a story better than that. Now, that's basically like, you know, if you wrote a story, you'd write that story.
Pretty much. And I, like, there was, I think, oh, excuse me, that was gross. I think Meltzer was saying, like, you know, I don't know why they changed the belt, or, oh, that's why. I mean, it was a great story, and I think that's why I enjoyed SmackDown so much. It was fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, Kevin, you covered this, but even the Baron Corbin Sin Cara match was damn good. That is a shocker to say. And maybe I'm a little, maybe I'm still feverish, which I am, but it was still good. The Charlotte Natalya match was good. We stayed for most of 205 Live, so we got to see the tag match with Gallagher and Kendrick versus Rich Swann and Cedric. That thing was awesome.
Yeah, they've had a good match lately.
Yeah, and so from the top to the bottom, and then having the Shield come down the aisle right next to us, and then my friend Fraser and I, he went with me. He goes, if Braun comes out, you're going to go nuts, aren't you? And I was like, yes. And his music hit, I lost my mind. I was jumping up and down, screaming. Yeah, I mean, it was fun just being a fan. Because they gave you what you wanted. I guess maybe that's the point. Like, New Day and versus Owens and Zayn, that was fun. New Day coming out. What was the term for cuddling up with your ex when it's cold?
Cuffing season.
When he goes, for those of you who don't follow Black Twitter, that got a good laugh in the crowd.
I bet. Yeah. No, we talked about so much SmackDown, basically how enjoyable it was. Like, going live is always a fun thing because it's kind of like you pick up stuff that you may not pick up on TV, and stuff stands out more. I think, and the way you're talking about, I think the live show, non-WrestleMania, the most fun was the go-home show, or like the week before the go-home show, right before the Trump McMahon Mania, because it was in D.C., and I think, who was there? Shaq showed up. The Rock showed up in an interview. Austin was there. Like, you know, when they had the interview segment with Trump and him and Lashley, everything like that. It was, I'm like, how did we get all of this?
Yeah, the like, good old days just, when Trump was harmless.
Yeah. Because I think that was like, Shaq showed up to help out Crime Time because they were feuding with Jericho and Big Show. Trying to remember that time frame. I know it was like a star-studded match. Star-studded night. Like, I definitely remember that night because, like, The Rock hadn't been on TV in years, and he popped up in, like, a inset interview. Stone Cold was actually there, so it was kind of like, wow, we're getting all the stars.
No kidding.
Like,
yeah,
no,
that
DC,
would've been pretty sweet.
Yeah, like, DC tends to have, like, real good, like, shows of his Raw SmackDown. Like, that one I remember, and one when they had a Raw SmackDown, like, back-to-back. And they had SmackDown first, so that was when Randy Orton had CM Punk's music for like 1 week before they switched it to his current music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like he came out to that music for 1 week. He said he hated it, and then it got switched. And we were there that week. He came out to that new music. We're like, "The hell is this?" And then you see Randy Orton. Like it, the music did not fit Randy Orton. It just seemed weird. And then him running in because Undertaker and Kurt Angle had a match, like a rematch, because from I think they had No Way Out that year, and it was like this real great match, and they had a rematch that was real good, and then he came out and interfered with RKO.
Oh,
yeah. So it was like we saw SmackDown first, and then we had Raw like on the same night. So
yeah, I would say that'd be a pretty sweet show to be at.
Yeah,
but now that we're done with wrestling. Well, at least we're done because I'm cutting it. We'll save the other stuff for later. But Justice League, we both saw it last night. The much maligned rumor filled. Really the movie everybody is seemingly rooting against, but apparently a lot of people, it's tracking to be a higher debut than Wonder Woman. I don't know, man. What'd you think?
You know, this is probably the hard... No, this is probably one of the hardest reviews I've done, because I don't know. Like, I didn't know how to review it. And I had to sleep on it and think about it and really think about it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to talk about, like, a normal person, a fan, and just, like, eliminate all the other stuff, comparisons to everything else, and just, like, the nature of the movie. And the one thing that kind of popped out in my head was, it was a movie with awesome characters and a average-ass story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mostly awesome characters. This one just still didn't do it for me. You can figure out who that is. But, yeah, I agree. The story... Now, there clearly were reshoots, because that goofy stuff with Superman's lips in the beginning... Ooh... That was some weird stuff. And if that was what some of the reshoots were, was just to do that beginning part, which I understand why it was in the movie. I don't know.
It popped up another part too.
That was the most egregious though. Yeah.
You know what's funny? If people hadn't talked about it, I wouldn't have looked for it. But I saw it in IMAX, so you can imagine how it was on that screen. Yeah, so it's kinda like once you saw it, you couldn't unsee it. And it's funny where one of the main thoughts I got from the movie is like, I wish Joss Whedon would have had the chance to direct this. Because you can tell, like, it looked like a movie that was directed by, like, the script and the feel was by Joss Whedon, and the action stuff and the story was by Zack Snyder. Because it's kind of like, I'm watching two separate movies.
Yeah, and it's, there we go again. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a story that I like. It's like when they're just being them and doing their stuff, it's fine. But when it's like all the outside story stuff, I'm like, this is just plain. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't have like strong opinions on it either way. Like I thought it was fine. And what I liked, like, even though they showed it before, but Aquaman riding that parademon down and crashing through the building and then sliding out, I still said that was cool. Like, I audibly said that was cool. And but after that, there wasn't a whole lot of like, oh my god moments until the very end, which you missed, and then a few other ones. Well, I just don't like Cyborg, and this movie didn't help me like him anymore. But when he did say booyah, I'm like, oh, all right, that's for the kids, because that's what he used to say on, was it Teen Titans Go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, but I don't know. It was like Wonder Woman was awesome, like usual. Batman lightened up, but not too much, which was good, because I was a little afraid of that. I actually enjoyed, was it Ezra Miller? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed him as Barry Allen. MoMA, I don't know what I was expecting from Aquaman, but it was just such a weird take, or such a different take on it, that I didn't know how to handle it.
I'll tell you one thing. Man, women love him. I was in there, and women were actively gasping, and Lord have mercy, and I'm like, they love some Jason Momoa, and they love him as Aquaman.
Yeah,
like, I didn't mean to interject, like, I'm noticing that.
That was another part of the conversation we can have right now.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm
Superman.
Looking...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's funny where, like, I was looking from, like, I was watching that he pops up, and I just heard, like, a murmur. And I'm looking to my left and looking to my right, and, like the bed I went to was full.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a mixture of everybody. Like, you had some nerd boys talking and fighting over, like, how you have assigned seats and you still arguing over seats? Well, never, like, that part I didn't get.
What?
But it's kind of like, yeah, because, like, oh, you need to move one seat over, or you want to switch, all this crap, but whatever. So it had like a mix of, like, you know, men and it wasn't like, you know, the dude fest a lot of these comic book movies tend to be. Like, you had a mix like men and women. And I didn't, like, Superman, I didn't notice it that much, a little bit. Definitely whenever Aquaman was on there, because it's like, people wonder, like, oh, why they have him that way? That's, yeah, Jason Momoa, then that's how you do him, because he basically plays, I'm drinking liquor, I'm cool, I got a good heart and everything. Like, women just melt over. And we've always talked about the whole thing. Aquaman is finally cool in the comics, but if you like a casual person, Aquaman has never really been that character that's like you're going to embrace. So how, what's a better way of him, especially if he's going to have his own movie, and this is like the first time introducing him to a large crowd, that's an effective-ass way of doing it.
Yeah. Now, one thing I don't want to jump. What the Superman part, when they resuscitated him or whatever, when he was fighting shirtless and walking around shirtless, and he got dropped down in, back in Kansas shirtless, there was a, like, just like you with Momoa, it was I'm like, oh, come on, ladies. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, whatever. Just where's our cheesecake, motherfuckers? But
every time Wonder Woman walked out,
not really, she's all dooted for battle, but. But no, it. I guess, like, there's the. Alright. I think my. What I really enjoyed, I enjoyed the fact that a lot of it seemed like, alright, we have to fix things from Batman Superman. So, Superman, when he comes back, is jovial. His first thought was civilians, even though I thought that was a little weird when the whole world's about to end. Excuse me, couldn't get the mute in time. I mean, when he was joking with Cyborg at the end, he's like, you know, I like being alive. And then, you know, he gets down, he's smiling, laughing, he goes, I take it back. Like, like, good. That's, like, yeah. All right, good, positive first step. One problem, though. Why was he going to be so mad seeing Bruce? Because they were fighting together at the end of Superman Batman. They weren't fighting each other.
Yeah, but he probably, one, is kind of like, you know, they say he might be out of it. Like, he may not have all of his memories or something go off. And it's kind of like, yeah, before they were fighting together, he did try to kill him.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, you know, he's seeing him as like, and he realized he was dead, too. So it wasn't like, you know, I'm doing this and then I went to sleep. It's like, okay. Like, I love that line, like, you know, you wouldn't let me live, you wouldn't let me die. You know, and that whole, you know, can you bleed? Then, like, it's funny, like, that whole Superman fight scene, I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would, because one is kind of like, because I was wondering too, like, why would Superman be pissed? But then it's like, you know, they was all warning, it may not be the right Superman. And I like how it was an argument where all the science people kind of like, you know, Cyborg's like, hey, we got to do what we got to do, because it's all rational, functional type thing. And Wonder Woman and Aquaman, like, Aquaman definitely saying, like, this ain't smart. This seemed like a dumbass idea. And Wonder Woman's coming the whole thing, like, you know, this is wrong for moral reasons. Like, what do we, like, we're supposed to be heroes. Is this what we're going to do? And Batman is this whole, I don't give a damn. We got to do what we got to do. So, seeing them, and I know one of the biggest laughs in the movie is when he grabbed Aquaman and Wonder Woman and Flash is running, and then his head turns and he's looking at him.
Yes.
And they show the Flash face, and he's look like he can actually see me and everything. And yeah, I know we talked a lot about that character, like, you know, is that a good actor for the Flash and how hard it may be because we had the TV show. But yeah, I gotta give him credit. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of him, that portrayal. And yes. he had like, you know, he probably had it harder than most because, like, he's doing a character that people know that they've seen on TV and people tend to like. And it's like, you don't get to compare it to a blank slate. You're comparing it to somebody that's already doing it. And he didn't play it the same way TV Barry did. He's, like, more neurotic and ADHD and I want to say more realistic. Because it's kind of like, you know, his dad's in there for murder for his mom, and he has all those powers, and he's like, he sees the world at this certain speed, like he says. It's kind of like, yeah, he would be more off than he would be on the show. At least the show, they have the excuse of he has a team.
Right.
To kind of ground him. And this one is like, I'm by myself.
Well, he also had, like, Joe West to live with and all that stuff, you know. This, we have no idea, which I really hope they don't go into with the Flash movie. So there were moments like that I really enjoyed, like him and Cyborg. Like, I'm sitting there going, why is he digging? Like, he should be done already. And then he goes, well, you know, I could be doing this a lot faster. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. And then when he goes to Cyborg, they're just talking, and he goes, so you were got hit by lightning? And he goes, yeah, more or less. Good, that's it. We don't need an origin story for his movie then. There, we already know. No, that's fine. And that's what it seemed like. Kind of like some of the people's problems with Superman and Batman is they just introduced all this stuff for no reason. And then in this one, they kind of threw in a little bit of the same by, like, you know, Flash, I got hit by lightning, Cyborg, yeah, I'm, you know, there's an accident, that's it. And now we don't need to get into this stuff. So
yeah. They gave you enough background to know their motivations for doing what they're doing. And it's funny where it's a movie that was 2 hours, and it seemed like they covered a whole lot of ground in, like, the first hour and a half, and then, like, the last 30 minutes was basically, like, one scene, more or less.
Okay.
It's kind of like the pacing was kind of off, like, you know, yes, you did was. a whole lot till you got to the final battle, and then it was just kind of, like, dragged out. And it's weird where it was, like, it's a two-hour movie that it didn't feel short. Like, it didn't feel too long, but it didn't feel like 2 hours. It felt like it was, like, 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I blame, like, the last part of the movie for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I asked Elise what she thought. She goes, this wasn't my favorite. And she really liked Superman Batman, too. So that's why when people were complaining about Superman Batman, I'm like, maybe we're just the wrong audience. You know, because, like, she knows nothing about this stuff, and she enjoyed it quite a bit. But this one, she just thought, she was like, the guy from outer, and this is her talking, of course, the guy from outer space and the bug people, so that was stupid. It's like, I'm like, well, and I told her, I was like, listen, it makes sense if they explain it, so I'm not going to explain it right now. Okay. And then they don't explain it, and I was like, well, yeah, that's pretty stupid, so never mind.
I mean, it's kind of tough. I know it's tough to do a villain, and it's tough to do a villain in movies because movies are hero-centric, and the best villains are the ones where they get time. Not just comic movies, like, movies in general, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter got movie time.
Yeah.
Hans Gruber got movie time. The Terminator got time, like, movie time. And for Marvel, Loki works because he got time. The rest of the time, it's kind of like, you got a movie that's 2 hours and 15 minutes, and you give the villain, like, six?
Yeah.
I mean, it's only so much you can do, and especially when it's, like, superpower ones, and it's not, like, the main big one. It's, like, the whole, okay, you hear somebody called Steppenwolf, and you don't read comics, you're like, what the hell is this? Like, yes. And I'm seeing that, I'm like, okay, it looks like a God of War villain with a stupid-ass name.
Yes.
Talking about, I need to bring back Mother and blah, blah, blah. Like, the plan is simple. It's just, if you're not a comic fan, it sounds dumb. Like, everything about him and his plan and everything, and it's kind of like, it's only so much you can do with that, and I mean, yeah. So I wasn't. It's kind of like, I'm not surprised. But even the scene, like, it was, they try to make him menacing. He just came off goofy.
Well, here's the thing. It's the CGI villains. Like, the villain at the end of Suicide Squad. That was stupid. And in this one, it's another CGI villain. And I know Marvel has gotten theirs. I mean, obviously, Ultron's not real. But the best villains, I mean, look at even Thor. Look at Helena. That was played by a real person with some CGI. It wasn't a totally CGI created person, and it's so much more effective that I don't know. I think that was the big problem.
Yeah, but to their defense, and it's kind of funny. So Superman showed up. I don't know if you could find a non-CGI villain or play him in a non-CGI way that could stand up to five of them, not even count Superman. Like, it's easier when it's, like, Batman, when it's a person, or it's easier when it's, like, one-on-one. But it's kind of like, you basically got Iron Man, the Flash, like, Cyborg is basically Iron Man Jr. Yeah. You got the Flash, Aquaman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. The Joker ain't lasting like more than 6 seconds. And the funny thing that I noticed about the movie is kind of like, especially that fight, he's kicking all of their asses, more or less. Superman shows up, mops the floor with him, runs back and saves people, then goes back and mops the floor with him again. It's like they could have went and took a lunch break. Like, they just made, and it's funny where they made Aquaman and Wonder Woman like powerful as hell, but they put Superman almost like on another damn level.
Which, I mean, isn't he supposed to be? So
above Aquaman, yeah. Above Wonder Woman,
Wonder Woman's not invulnerable though.
Yeah, but so, it's not even that. It's kind of like, even the comics and stuff, and even it's funny with the movie where she's basically the leader.
Yeah.
And that was the funny, I mean, it kind of fits because one, she had a successful movie. Two, she could kind of play that role, and she's not being a dickhead like Batman was being.
Or an asshole, as everyone kept pointing out.
And I know it was justified, but I'm like, yeah, he being a damn dick. He's talking about, when she's talking about, you know, we gotta be a team, we can't turn our back on humanity. He's like, is that what you told your dead boyfriend or something?
I was like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she basically chopped him in the damn chest. as she should have. I'm like, he was pushed. It was, you know what's funny? It reminded me of like Justice League Batman with a little more asshole to it. Because kind of like, Batman's always been kind of a dickhead. But they, a lot of the times they play him, like they play Bruce Wayne as that guy and Batman's more noble. It's like, no, Batman can be a jerk. And a lot of the comics recognize that he can be a jerk. The cartoons, when he's in the team, can recognize that too. I'm glad they added in a movie where it's kind of like, it's a jerk with a purpose, but it's still there. Like, you know, the line, like, what's your power? I'm rich. And A.
Well, and then his power comes back at the end to save the Kent farm. He goes, how did you get the bank? Well, he goes, I bought the bank. He goes, the whole bank? He's like, yeah, just bought the whole thing. Like, I mean, Jesus. All right. Yes. I guess so.
I mean, you got a friend with money, you know, hook me up. Simple but effective. So, and it's funny, people were complaining. I know they were saying, like, well, Batman looked like he wasn't really, out of the six of them, it's like he wasn't doing that much. I'm like, he's just a human being.
Which I like how they showed that, too.
Yeah, and it's like, he even says, like, you know, I don't know if I keep doing this. Like, they know, like, it's not just Batman. It's old Batman. Him struggling to get the suit off, him moving slow. It's like, it's a Batman that's already been doing it for, what, 15, 20 years?
I think he said so 20 years, didn't he?
Yeah. So it's like, he's got wear on a damn tire. So I'm glad he's just moving like a normal trained person. And it's like, especially, hold on one second.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's doing that. Yeah, the portrayal of Bruce Wayne in this, well, actually, I'm sorry, the portrayal of Batman in this, yeah, as a dick, but then there are scenes where you see, like, after the battle, he has his shoulder separated. He can't get his outfit. He can't get the suit off because of his arm. And then when he starts pulling it up, they reveal all these bruises and lacerations and all that on his back that Wonder Woman sees, which kind of humanized him. Like, here's this, well, as Pete always says, the crazy guy, crazy billionaire running around in a bat suit. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the
as Aquaman definitely pointed out. I'm glad he was there. It's kind of like, you know, this seemed kind of weird, right? Like, oh, so you really went full Batman, dressed like a bat, even with the wings. Like, oh, okay. Like, it's funny.
I liked how we kept saying, "I dig it." I don't know why I think that's funny. I just do. So,
it's, you know why? Because it's just throwing off. Because it's like Aquaman basically like a dude bro, but he was a likable one, which is it's real hard to do because that can really be like off putting and like roll your eyes. And it's lucky that Jason Momoa is just so awesome where it's like he can get away with doing that. Because it's kind of like, you know, he there drinking whiskey. He's there, you know, he'll pay for this. It's like, you know, he's saving people and going back to water. When Bruce shows up the first time, he's like, nah, I got time for all this.
You know, I did like, making, when he threw the guy on the table and said, Ahab will pay for it. Mm-hmm. Just a Moby Dick joke just made me laugh. I don't know why.
Yeah, like they're bragging, you know, when he's first offering money, like, you know, I'll give you 25 grand and blah, blah, blah. He making a joke like, you know, I probably still get it anyway. You couldn't do nothing about it. But saying that language where they know what he's saying and Bruce is there looking stupid, like not knowing what's going on. the underwater scene that didn't last long, but it's like, you know, introduced the whole backstory with him and Amber Heard was kind of nice, because like, you 3 minutes basically told like a whole history, like, you know, why is he doing what he's doing, why he feels a certain way about her, and all the stuff that happened with the family. Like, they did their thing, talk, and bounce. Like, you need to spend 15 minutes. Why spend 15 minutes when you can spend three?
And I'm not very familiar with Amber Heard, so I don't know if she's a good actress or not. I thought she was pretty cool as Mira. There's really nothing else to that. I was just surprised. I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, they got the powers down that she controls water instead of, you know, like Aquaman swims in it, whatever else. She actually controls it. So when she was fighting Steppenwolf and, you know, she just takes the water away from him, makes him fall to the ground, all that stuff, I was like, that's pretty badass. So it makes me happy for the possibility of Wonder Woman, Aquaman.
Yeah.
And this is kind of my complaint, though, and this is how I hope Aquaman's not. Even daytime scenes in this movie were just dark. I'm like, does the sun ever rise in these movies? I'm trying to think of, like, one time it was actually sunny out.
I think the closest it got to was when they were back on the farm.
Yeah, and even then, and it was like...
Yeah, even then. I think it would be different because just different people are shooting it. Like, James Wan has his own style. So, and he's, like, running the, you know, he's running that show. And
Justin Lin was doing Aquaman. Or is it James Wan?
James Wan's doing Aquaman.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, shows what I know then. All right, cool.
Yeah. So they basically, because they gave him a choice, like, whatever movie you want to do, you can do. He picked Aquaman.
Oh, all right.
That's what happened when you do a Fast and Furious movie and then make almost $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
after doing Insidious and Conjuring and make it $100 million off a $10 million budget, but it's, yeah. Cyborg was kind of
hardest. As you mentioned, Cyborg. I was saying you choose the hardest character to make a movie out of, but yeah. Not really.
I was going to mention Cyborg. I liked him because it was different. Like, he was basically the outsider, and it was almost like, you know, Frankenstein's monster, because he's looking at this like, you know, I got a language in my head that I can't speak. My body's changing all the time. Like, I can fly. Yesterday, I couldn't do this. And, like, you know, the dad's kind of like, I did what I had to do to save you. And he's like, I ain't asked for this. Like, I know you might think this looks cool. This shit ain't cool. Like, they, you know, they played into that whole thing where it wasn't, he didn't look at himself as a hero. He looked at himself as like a damn monster. And he realized that other people around him was looking at it that way. And I like the interplay between him and Diana, because, like, she noticed when he was looking at him in the woods, when she's talking to Bruce, and then they're going there talking again, and she's trying to give him a pep talk, and he's like, nah. I like how people weren't just like, you know, because him and Aquaman basically jumped in because personal reasons. It wasn't just somebody gave him a pep talk and they jumped in because they're more grown. Like, Flash is like, I ain't got nothing else going on, so why not? And it's Batman. Like, he's heard of, like, that's the thing where Batman's known and Batman's been a thing. So it's like, yeah, hanging around with Batman would be cool when you're young. When you're older, it's like, whatever. You gotta show me something.
And I also like, on the outsider tip, like, even Flash trying to be friends with Cyborg didn't go that well to begin with. And then the fist bump thing.
And he third time's a charm.
But then he was like, it's racial. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, all right, he's joking. All right, I was like, that's weird to throw out all of a sudden. But then he tries again, doesn't do it. And then I like how they didn't make a big deal of it. It was just, they're all standing there, and they just bump fists on the side of the screen. So if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't have seen it. So I thought that was pretty cool, actually. Instead of, like, doing this over-dramatic stuff, you know, that I guess it could have done, but it wasn't necessary. But, I mean,
yeah,
overall...
Go ahead. No, like, I definitely liked their interplay, because, like, they had... Like, you could tell the cast got along. Like, the chemistry worked in different ways. Like, you know, with the Flash and Cyborg. I like that little monologue that Aquaman had, and you realize, like, why is he spilling his guts out? And yeah. Like, he's sitting on the lasso, and it, like, that got a good-ass laugh, like, because it came out of nowhere, because at first he's like, you know, nah, I ain't trying to do all, like, first he's like, you know, don't matter, I'm probably dying anyway, but it's cool. And then he's like, you know, I really don't want to die, I'm here between two worlds and everything, and it's like, it's kind of out of nowhere. And then you realize he's sitting on the lasso of truth. And she's just there with, like, a little smirk on her face, and Batman had that same old smirk. And I'm like, see, it was humor, but it wasn't, like, beat you over the head humor.
And the one line that got the biggest laugh was Martha Kent, when he said that, well, Clark always said that you were the thirstiest young lady he's ever met. I started busting up laughing, like, that's fantastic.
Everybody did.
But I've actually I finally started reading reviews. There were actually people complaining about that line, saying it was too dirty. I'm like, no, it's just funny.
No, it's kind of, yeah, it's like, it's funny because it's like, it's a slip of the tongue that just means completely different thing. Like, hungry is like, fine as far as, like, you know, her job. She's hungry to get the story and get to the bottom of it. Thirsty is like, who's this desperate broad trying to get my son? No, that definitely got a big laugh. Like, a lot of laughs in this movie from, like, a lot of different people, but it wasn't, like, obnoxious humor, which is kind of, like, was surprised. And I know because, you know, they said they want to make it lighter, but a lot of times you try to go lighter, and it just goes too much the other way, and it just comes off. Like, this one, it just seemed like, you know, they didn't do anything that didn't fit their character, like, as how they should be. It would just seem weird, like, if you saw Batman versus Superman, and then you saw this, it's like, oh, Superman's happy. Mm-hmm. Batman's not a dick. He's a dick, not but he's not much. Like murder. Yeah. Not as much. He's like murderous thing. It's kind of like, you know, I was wrong. And I like the perfect thing, how the beginning of the movie, when Batman sets up and he does all this. Like, you know, one, the Danny Elfman music. Because it's like, it's just weird hearing that again. Because those Batman movies came out of early 90s. And, like, I missed the music because I definitely enjoyed it. It just seemed like, wow, I haven't heard that in a long time. And this scene, like, whenever I hear the music, I think of Michael Keaton. Mm-hmm. So seeing Ben Affleck do it, I was like, it kind of took me a while to get into it. And then the whole thing is like, oh, all these aliens coming back because Superman's gone, Hope is gone. And they're basically showing, like, since Superman's getting gone, the world's basically been going to hell. It's been changing everybody. And, like, that was a kind of a big thing where they didn't gloss over that. And I like how it kind of affected everybody, like, in the movie, more or less.
Well, yeah, I mean, all right, and I guess to have this conversation is to talk about the two clear different directions in this movie, because I don't think, how much of this do you think is Zack Snyder, how much of this do you think is actually Josh Whedon, because he was credited with writing the story, Josh mm-hmm. Whedon was. So I'm sitting here thinking, how much did he actually do? Because it didn't seem like he was on the project that long, and it didn't seem like he would have that much time to make a significant contribution to change things. But if you get a writing credit,
yeah, I can tell based on the dialogue that most of the dialogue seemed like be Joss Whedon, because it was like, Joss Whedon's dialogue kind of has that snap to it. Like, you know, this witty, funny, self-aware thing, like, you know, that Zack Snyder does not have. And the interactions between the people, like, you could definitely notice, it's kind of like, it seemed more natural. Like, they seem heroic. And that's the thing that DC always, one of their advantages, like, you know, when they should always have an advantage, because their heroism was kind of like symbol heroism. Like, they stand out above and beyond everything, and they seem like above it all. And this is like the first time it's like, you know, they made a big thing. Like, you're Wonder, like, they never, it's funny, they still haven't said Wonder Woman. It's like, you're Wonder Woman. Why are you hiding? Mm-hmm. You know, you should be a role model standing out and do all this and do all that. And, like, especially now, like, it's funny where that's kind of like a movie comment, but also like an in-joke, because, like, Gal Gadot is basically the face of like the DC universe, so putting her front and center is smart, because, like, one, she's had her own successful movie. It's not the the smoke around, you know, Ben Affleck, how long he's going to be Batman. Who knows when they're going to have a Man of Steel 2 again. We don't know about these other ones. Like, her, she's successful. And you know you're going to another one for her. And it's, and it doesn't hurt that she looks the way she looks. It's kind of like, whoever picks out her wardrobe deserves all the damn money in the world, because she's just, I mean, she just is kind of like, we've said it before, like alien level beautiful. That's like the way she just stands out. And I know Mercedes definitely has something to do with that, because I saw two Mercedes. Like, those are some nice Mercedes. Like
that space car? Yeah.
Like, that first one that Bruce and the Flash was in, like, yeah, that's like a $250,000 car.
That's a real car?
Yes, that's a real car.
Holy
shit. That's an SLC. That's a real car.
I don't know anything about cars. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, that's, yeah, that's a... Was it a prototype, apparently? Oh, I guess not. All right, never mind.
Yeah, no, that's real. So, you know, and how she carries herself, like, noble and regal. And, like, she was basically, you know, the engine pushing the movie. And she's like, you know, and her whole reluctance, like, you know, I've always been a fighter. You know, they give me orders, I do it. The one time I led, my boyfriend died. And I don't really want to go through that. And it's like, That's a valid thing. Like, it's not just about power. It's kind of like responsibility. You want to be responsible for all that. Like, everybody kind of had an arc in this movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, what would Cyborg's be? Just being accepted?
No, him accepting himself.
Because
that was his whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, he was kind of like holding himself back. Like, do I really want to embrace this? It's not really me. And it's kind of like, yeah, you a walking toaster. And you keep changing every day. It's kind of like, you know, you might think it's cool. I can plug into an entire internet. I can control this and that. And I can fly and shoot laser beams. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Except for, you used to be a human. And you was running around playing football or whatever and just being a normal person. And now you're talking like, now you're 85% of, not just a computer, an alien one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's still, I still this. I don't know. Talking about Cyborg to me is just like, all right, cool. You paint your walls green. All right. I don't know, man. It's not even the fact that, you know, because I don't really care that much. But I think that's the problem with him. Like, all right, I get it, but I just don't care. But all right. To go back though, the dialogue. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I think the pacing of the movie, I'm wondering of how much of this, like, I know it's in editing too, mind you, but, you know, the director has to give edit, it will work with an editor as well. So that's why I wonder, when did Whedon come into this? Because the first half of the movie, like you pointed out, it starts off like Batman versus Superman. Just this, then this, then this, like scene, 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 scene. There's no real flow to it. Well, then all of a sudden, like, you got the long battle, which helped, between, you know, the heroes. You've got the big fight at the end. But it just seemed like somebody said, all right, this is way too choppy. We're trying to do way too much here. Let's slow it down. And you finally had, like, the long scene of them talking about resurrecting Superman, which we can talk about in a second. Then you've got, like, another long scene. Because if you go back and watch the beginning of the movie, the first, I think it's an hour and a half. I'd say hour. I think every scene was maybe 5 minutes. And it was, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this, here's this.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened, because it was kind of like, you introduced Batman, you introduced the scene with Wonder Woman, you got the scene with the Flash, you got the first scene where Batman meets Aquaman, you got a scene with Cyborg.
Yeah.
Then you got the scene when Steppenwolf first gets there, fights the Atlanteans. We didn't even talk about it. You had that scene. Then it's like, you have, it's like, you, then you have another scene where they, Batman meets Wonder Woman, and then they're with the Flash, and then Cyborg shows up. Then you had the fight scene where Aquaman shows up. Then they talk about resurrecting Superman. Like, you had, like, then it's like, everybody had like two or three scenes before it was like the resurrected Superman part. Like, it was a whole lot of stuff that was kind of like in there. But it was funny where they had to do, and we've talked about this plenty of times, Marvel had the advantage. By the time the Avengers came out, they had like 4 or 5 movies mm-hmm. that did a lot of this heavy lifting. And this one, we really had 3, basically. We had 3. Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, and Wonder Woman, more or less. And then it's like, you have all of that, but then you're introducing 3 new characters and 1 new villain. And all this other stuff. Like, the 3 new characters have all of their characters. Like, it's not just Aquaman. It's Aquaman and Mira. It's not just the Flash. It's the Flash and his dad. It's not just Cyborg. It's Cyborg and his dad. And then Commissioner Gordon's here. And then you got the villain. And these bug aliens. Like, faceless aliens and faceless monsters just get boring after a while. I can see why people kind of complain about that. Because it's like, if you've seen... You haven't seen a lot of comic movies. It's not a thing. But if you've been watching these, like, we've been watching, 2005 or 2006? It's like, yeah, after a while, it's kind of like, enough. Like, I've seen this too many times. It's not a way for you to make this look cool. No matter how much money you spend, no matter how powerful your computer is, it's still some gobbledygook that's just flying around making pew-pew sounds.
Or screams in the case of the parademons. Oh, all right, good. I'm glad I got the mute button. It's like the parademons in this, I guess, because of the source material, I can kind of forgive them because it's Apocalypse and they're going to be around. So, all right, I'm like, all right, that's fine. But yeah, what's funny is since you didn't see the end credits, you can't really go into it too much. I mean, we can just based on what
I read about it and heard, so we kind of can go in, but we can talk about the first one because it's kind of like they had 2 scenes, and it was cool because it's like, you know, you always wonder, like, if you hadn't read comics, you always wonder who's faster. You read comics, it's kind of like that's, you know, playing off the comics thing, and I like how they went the whole brunch joke and, like, you know, the time to begin in the movie, and then it's funny where the Flash being clumsy makes sense because he's not experienced. Because that was one thing I was noticing. Now, I'm glad they played off like, you know, he's kind of inexperienced and he's not used to fighting. Whenever he ran, it just looked like he was just clumsy. Like, he was moving fast, but it was like, you know, he didn't move confident, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And
it fit the character, so it didn't really bother me. Just something like, yeah, this looks... it's weird where if they hadn't explained it, I would have complained about it, but since they explained it and it fit, it's just something I noticed and kind of like gave a little smile to.
The thing with Flash, and it was I did like the classics, like, superhero thing. Bruce Wayne shows up and is just sitting in the dark in his place. Why? Just because he's sitting in the dark, you know. And I did like how Barry Allen goes, "You say, like, when he says, my name's Bruce Wayne," he goes, "You say that like that explains why you're sitting in my second favorite chair."
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like he's just not putting up with this bullshit already.
Yeah, he's saying stuff that normal people, like him and Aquaman, were saying things that normal people would say, like, "Oh, you know, I'm Bruce Wayne." Okay, strange man that's sitting in my house. Now, yeah. I'm like, why are you here? Like, you know, he would say stuff that we would say. Aquaman saying same thing, like, it's funny where he's basically blurting out loud, you Bruce guy dressed up like a bat. And Aquaman wasn't whispering what he was saying. Like, maybe because it's like this island in the middle of nowhere, like, he doesn't have a problem basically telling everybody, like, you know, this rich guy is Batman. But that's something definitely I noticed. Like, I noticed that part. And I kind of got a laugh at that. Like, Aquaman didn't give a rat's ass about his secret identity. Because, yeah. Like, you bother me. You bother me. I didn't call you.
And it was like those kind of character moments that I immediately think, like, who wrote this? Because you pointed out when we reviewed Batman Superman that Zack Snyder is a cynical guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, look at how there's no color in his movies, you know? And there's just, everything's drab, no one's really a good person. And then you get, you got Wonder Woman in this thing, who's clearly is. And I think the biggest thing to me was just the change with Superman. Because even the suit looked more blue.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I wish they would just put the red back on, because the suit without it looks stupid. But, anyways. And that's where I'm wondering, like, because it said directed by Zack Snyder. It did not say directed by Josh Whedon. So I don't know how the Directors Guild rules work, but
yeah, it's kind of it's real picky when it comes to that. Like a lot, they just started allowing co-directors because before you couldn't do that. Like that was the big thing with Sin City, where Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller wanted to give him co-director to do it. The Guild said no, so Robert Rodriguez basically left the Directors Association.
Yeah, so, I remember like that. Now, I didn't know that was why.
Yeah, now you can, because I remember like John Wick, they had two directors, and like Lord and Miller with the Lego movies, and so like now you can do multiple directors. Before it's kind of like one person got credit. So, but even then, it's like I know they tend to be real finicky about that, but it keeps going around to the director thing. Like DC basically just needs to have Patty Jenkins and Joss Whedon run the show with Jeff Johns above them, because it's kind of like Joss Whedon knows how to do big movies. And we were talking about pacing. I know one of the things was they told him to make a 2-hour movie, so I can imagine the director's cut being like 3 hours, because it's like, from what I heard, they cut out a lot of stuff.
Well, and you can yeah, because there was no Iris West. Barbara Gordon was supposed to be in it, and I think there was a couple other characters that, you know, they said they signed and did this and this, but just they weren't in there anywhere. Which I don't really know where the hell Barbara Gordon would have fit. What, like Hi Daddy or something? Like, I don't know.
We will find out. We'll find out come January, February with the ultimate edition cut of Justice League. Yeah. So.
Oh, it was Vulko, William Dafoe. That's who.
Okay.
That's who was the other guy.
Yeah.
That was
yeah, I forgot he was in that.
Yeah.
He was cast for that. I forgot all about that, and it's kind of like. Nothing wrong with 2 hours. If you can tell your story, that's fine. It's just funny when you got to tell a whole lot of stories. And all things considering, they did the best they could do. I don't think really... It's funny where I think the biggest issue is like you're trying to combine two different visions. And they are not just like... They are very opposed visions. Like, you know, Zack Snyder has everything in that... dirt filter where everything is orange or red or like grayish, like everything's just dirty and dark and apocalyptic. And like, it's funny, you see the previews and you're like, okay, that last fight, are they in space? Like, why is everything orange? And then I'm like, and then you see it in the movie, it's like, oh, it's this power toxic cloud. I'm like, this is just like the hell level in a video game. Like, this is just dirty. It's just dirty.
You nailed the final scene. That's what it seemed like. And it goes back to like some of the previews I saw. It goes into the conversation, I'll bring it up, but it's that Ready Player One that Spielberg made.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the preview for that?
Yeah, I showed it before this movie.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about that movie. I play video games. I don't need to go see one. Like, That's all that it looks like to me. It's just video game shit. And then we get to the end of this movie, and that's all we're doing. And I'm like, yeah. It was funny because I complained. Not complained, but I was saying, like, I started getting burned out at the end of Civil War. Not Civil War. Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm.
And now, that seems so tame in comparison to how these movies go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I don't know. I know they can't do it, but I would just like some just small battles, like one-on-one stuff. And
it's a reason the small battles stand out. Like, it's funny where Civil War, the big battle is the airport one.
Yeah.
But the end is just a two-on-one fight. It's basically like it's real personal, more or less. And Deadpool joke was we were gonna have a big battle, but the budget got cut, so we had to shorten it. Logan's was kind of like an interpersonal one. Guardians of the Galaxy was just a dance-off, which kind of like... Yeah. It's funny, like, movies now have been playing with that whole thing, where it's kind of like, you know, Doctor Strange did the same thing. Like, you know, they know... They kind of know what we know. Like, we've all seen this. Nobody want to see a big laser beam in the sky. And this one kind of had that, too, more or less. But a laser beam all... Like, I know they had to have that one family so we can have a personal care in this, but that whole thing just seemed goofy. Why are they living there?
Okay.
I'm thinking the whole time. Like, I know you can't necessarily choose. Like, they're talking about, oh, you know, it was a nuclear reactor that went wrong, and some people trying to make it work, and you got to do the best you can. And I'm like, we focus on this one dirt poor family, and they keep coming. Like, are they important? Or are they just supposed to put, like, a face on the conflict? And every time I saw them, I'm like, this is just a damn plot point.
Yeah, and the one thing that I like, though, you knew, like, someone was going to have to come and rescue him. Like, that's just how it was going to be. I liked the fact that it wasn't Superman. Because you expected it to be Superman to save the day and, like, restore hope and all this. And it was actually the Flash.
Yeah. And then Flash ate everybody else.
Yeah, it kind of came full circle when it's like, you know, when Batman told him, you save one, then you'll understand. Well, now he's saving people on the regular, and, you know, and then, of course, he gets... You know, he gets one-upped by Superman carrying a building.
That was so damn hilarious, because Flash did all that hard work putting the truck. Like, oh, that's kind of impressive. He's like, you should feel proud of yourself. And then you just turn your right, and, like, Superman's flying with a damn building. Like, it's no big deal. I don't know if it's me, or if I'm the one. Superman seemed, like, way... I don't know if it's, like, overpowered. Not, like, in a bad way. He just seemed, like, a lot stronger than normal. Maybe... being dead and coming back is good for the spirit, because it's kind of like, as soon as he came in, and I know why they had him save the people, because the way the movie played out, as soon as he came in, the movie's over.
Yeah, yes, it was
basically. You know, and it wasn't they, and I like how they didn't waste time. Like, he knocked out Steppenwolf, you know, saved the people, killed him again, say, and helped save the day with Cyborg. And it's kind of like, yeah, the rest of y'all jokers kind of, you know, sit on the side. Like I got this, even though they kind of did the heavy lifting. Yeah. And Batman basically having a death wish, kind of like, you got all these people with superpowers, what I'm going to do? I'm just going to have all these parademons chase me while I'm in my car.
Yeah, I was thinking, all right, so what's the next stage of this plan? And when Alfred goes, I don't think we thought this through, I was like, wait, what? Like, that was it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, you let the whole thing, I'm a dog, chase the car, and then I caught the car, what's next?
And then Aquaman's even like, so your plan is just get him to chase you and die? He's like, pretty much. And it's like, all right. He's like,
whatever. Like, yeah. For somebody that's supposed to be so damn smart, Batman was doing a lot of silly stuff. And I was kind of like, it was kind of a little off-putting, because I didn't bother too much, because I've always thought too many people make Batman way overpowered, like, you know, he's the most dangerous man in DC Universe. He can kill everybody in the Justice League because he got a plan. I'm like, he's just a dude that does CrossFit and is rich. Like, privilege does not defeat superpowers, as much as people want to say that. So the fact that they made him more mortal, it was kind of a plus, because, yeah, it's like, he has a lot of advantages and resources. He's still just a man. These other people, like, can run fast, can fly, or superpower, like that Wonder Woman scene in the beginning, and they only did that to show off how powerful it is. She could have just punched that dude, the one with the machine gun. Like, nah, oh, yeah. she gonna block every single damn bullet and save 25 people in 3 seconds, so we can see, yes, look at this badass. And I'm not complaining, because It's good seeing a woman badass, and she knows how to play that role, and people love her. But I'm like, yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, this just, you know, let me show off. We just need to show that this space for people who hadn't seen Wonder Woman, and you want to see what Wonder Woman can do, here you go.
Do you think there are actually people out there, I mean, I'm not even trying to be like a smartass, but do you think there are people that actually didn't see, like, Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman that decided, oh, I'm going to go see Justice League? You know? Like, how weird does that be?
There's always one. I think this one is different, not at my theater, because everybody stayed to the credits except for me. I had to go to the bathroom. But I stayed for the first one. We'll talk about the second one a little bit. Like, this one is like the first one I went to where almost nobody left. And normally, even when I went to see Thor, and I saw that opening night, people still left. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Marvel, you should know by now. Like, this is like the first one that really had one. And they, they used to talk about, nah, we don't do that. That's Marvel's thing. Like, DC blatantly used to say that. So the fact that people kind of stayed when normally DC doesn't do it, this probably like the audience that has seen them. But yeah, there's always one. And I always wanted that too. It might be somebody like, you know, hey, I'm going to go see this. I don't know anything about it. It just seems cool. Like, everybody doesn't follow all this stuff. They just if something looks cool to them, they'll go see it.
Yeah, I guess. It just seems weird. Like, all right, or maybe someone's just a big Flash fan and not Wonder Woman. I don't know. But
I want to see Jason Momoa without a shirt.
True. Well, that's definitely the movie for you. Or Conan.
Well, I want to see Gal Gadot look gorgeous. Like, yeah, and I didn't see Wonder Woman, so I'll see this.
I do like how they've kind of made Gotham the center of the DC universe. Because, you know, like, when they were talking about, like, basically creating the Hall of Justice for the Justice League at the end, it was at Wayne Manor. Like, wait a minute. You're going to have everybody, like, Superman obviously can just fly. Who knows how far Central City is. But it's like, Aquaman lives in the goddamn ocean. So, well, I mean, they haven't, I guess they, what, they have Gotham Harbor?
Yeah, you can swim fast. It's funny, like, the center of DC Universe is going to be in Jersey.
Yeah, with Manhattan across the street.
Because they acknowledge that Gotham is in New Jersey. And the first time I noticed that was Suicide Squad. And I hadn't noticed that until I watched on HBO, like, last week. And they were doing, like, the profiles of people. And I was like, hold up. New Jersey? Like, it's weird. I always thought, like, it was, like, New York. And, like, Bloodhaven was Jersey.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, no. In this universe, Gotham's in Jersey. Which kind of, like... DC's always been a funny thing. Like, we've talked about before on other podcasts, like, Marvel... is mostly like real locations, and they had like a fake country here and there. And DC's kind of like, you have fake cities and real cities. Like, you have both of them. Like, you have a lot more fake cities. Central City, Coast City, Gotham, Metropolis. Yeah, you got Gotham, Jersey. Be right next to Camden. Like, okay. Like, I guess.
Yeah, well, because... Alright, so technically, Metropolis is supposed to be in Kansas. Which is just weird, but...
Yeah, like, how?
Just, they always wanted to go to Metropolis U, which was in Kansas. Okay. So, it was just... I know it's a weird thing, but... Because even, like... I know this is, like, real nerd stuff, but, like... Metropolis is actually based off of Cleveland. So... It's, like, I don't know what... I always thought Gotham was, like, New York City, like you said. Bloodhaven was Jersey. But then they say, wait, we're going to Atlanta tomorrow. Like, wait, what? No. I wish they would just keep it. And this, they do that in the comics as well. Because I remember a long time ago, Wonder Woman picked up shop and moved to Boston. And we're like, wait, what? Like, how is she in Boston?
And now in the movie universe, they're basically sister cities. Because, like, you know, they basically ride across the water from each other.
Yeah, yes. Which I thought that actually was kind of a cool touch.
Yeah, that makes sense logistic-wise, because, like, why would, you know, Bruce Wayne have stuff over Metropolis? I guess it's not that far from his home base, and it's like, he's rich, he can have whatever he wants. Like, you know, so we might as well talk about the scene that I missed and I had to read about from other people, because okay. I had to go to the bathroom, and I'm thinking, like, you know, how big can it be?
Us two old men, I had to go to the bathroom halfway through, and I'm like, nope. So I'm sticking this shit through, so... Getting old sucks, guys. And that's when I kind of figured out I was getting sick, too. Because I'm like, I didn't drink that much. How the hell do I have to go to the bathroom this much? But anyways, so the first credit scene is, you know, the Flash in out. All right. Nitpick time. The thing is, not if Superman is faster than the Flash. It's if he can run faster. So when he was flying, I was like, "No, you're cheating! You're supposed to be running, not flying."
Yeah, it would look. I know, but it would look goofy. Like, it's different in the comics and the cartoons. Like it's funny where I hadn't thought about it till you said it, and then like I'm just trying to picture Superman running fast.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't like cartoon. Yeah, Henry Cavill running fast, Superman running on film. But just look weird to me.
Yeah.
And it, I would think, yeah. But also I would think it's kind of like, it would make it more challenging for the Flash, because I'm guessing, I wonder how much, I don't know, now we're talking about the whole nerd thing, the Speed Force, let me first, like, you can always fly faster than running faster. under normal circumstances. Like, you know, the top ground speed is one thing, the top air speed is completely, has always been higher. So the fact that the Flash can keep up with him would seem like, you know, a testament how fast he really is, because it's harder for him than Superman just flying.
That's true. All right, so and that was just kind of a throwaway one. It's like, whatever. The big one, though, so I didn't think the movie needed, like, Lex Luthor or anything like that, so I never even considered him. And mm-hmm. You never heard anything about Jesse Eisenberg being in this one. So I don't know when this was, you know, when this was filmed, whatever, but at the end, you know, you have to wait through the whole thing, and you go to, someone said Arkham, but I thought it was supposed to be Blackgate, but either way, it doesn't matter, they're at a prison, and if we all remember, you know, Luthor was in prison at the end of Superman Batman, mm-hmm. and then shaved his head. So they're yelling at, Luthor, "Hey, get out of your cell." They're cleaning up or dinner or something like that. And he's not moving. He won't turn around. And I was like, oh, wow, they're going to show Luthor in this. All right. So the guy turns around, and it's someone totally different. And I'm like, wait, did they change Lex Luthor's? Because, hey, you never know with some of this stuff. So turns out, no, Luthor broke out. And he's on a boat somewhere. How we know this is, and I should say yacht, not a boat, mind you. There is a guy driving a speedboat going towards this yacht. And it's kind of dark, of course. And you see what looks like two handles with two, like, ribbons on it. And I immediately go, is that Deathstroke? And then boat, like, a far shot, so you're not really getting anything close. You're getting a far shot of everything. And then you see, like, Luthor sitting there. And you're like, oh, cool, Lex Luthor, all right. And then he talks about how, you know, the people have gotten God back and this. You remember, that's what he was talking about, Superman. And he goes, isn't that right, Mr. Deathstroke? Or no, Mr. Wilson. And the whole crowd, and I do mean this, the entire theater went, yes! Because all of a sudden, there he is. And then they showed him in costume as well. The costume looks badass. And then he takes his, and then he starts talking. He's like, you know, I hear Superman's getting his team of friends together. So he goes, why don't we get our own team together, Mr. Wilson? That's when he called him Mr. Wilson. And then Slade, you know, it's a Joe Melanol. What the hell's his name? Magnella.
Yeah, all right. Something like
that. Him. He takes the mask off, eye patch, silver hair, silver goatee, and the crowd went crazy. And that was it. And I was like, I didn't know I wanted, like, they pulled a fast one on us because they said that was for the Batman movie.
It might have originally been for the Batman movie. And they just kind of like, well, we don't know when we're doing this Batman movie, but we got him. So, same thing they did with, The Rock, basically, is kind of like, you know, we got him as Black Adam, and it went from he's going to be in Shazam, so he's going to be in his own movie, to he may be the main villain of Suicide Squad, too. So it's like, you got him, use him. Mm-hmm. Instead of just waiting, like, if you got something that you know you're going to do, go right ahead. And this, I've always wondered, like, supervillains should team up. Heroes team up all the time. Supervillains always want to go solo.
I guess because they're all crazy. That'd be the reasoning, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't know I wanted that, and obviously they're not going to call him the Legion of Doom. That'd be kind of silly, I guess. Although it would be pretty sweet. But, you know, all the talk of Darkseid, they mentioned him in this movie, but then I'm wondering now, are they just going to scrap it? And
no, save it for later. Yeah, save it for later.
So, I don't disagree with that, because you don't want to have, like, you know, Darkseid was first, all right? But people are immediately going to bring up, oh, so DC's doing Darkseid, it's just Thanos Jr. Like, I get it. So, yeah. Stay away from it.
And also, it's kind of like, Darkseid is really, like, one of their biggest villains. So I would save him if I could, because like once you do Darkseid, who are you doing after Darkseid?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Marvel, like, we won't really have time to talk about this week, and we talk about next week. Sound like Marvel was basically building up the Thanos, because for all the villains that they had contractually able to use, he's probably their most biggest one. Like, as far as, like, power scale and power-wise, like, who could stand up to all these people? And they probably, like, you know, Thanos, or the people they actually had. So that makes sense. Like, DC, you know, you do Darkseid, you ain't doing, like, Mongol next. Or like Gorilla Grodd or something like that. Like, that'd be kind of like you build up to the big one. You don't do big one, then go down the small one. And I know we were all talking about like who would be Camels and stuff. And I know like I like how you talked about all the time, and it popped up in the battle beginning when it was a Green Lantern on Earth.
Yes, yes. And apparently Artemis was in there, or was she the girl that got crushed by the horse?
No, I think she was. No, she was in there fighting. She was one of the gods. Goddesses, and like her, Ares,
Zeus was in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. I liked how they did. I did like the Ares thing because it was the same actor, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that story. I like that story, like how you know, just shows how long the Amazon's been around, what they've been doing and stuff. And even though I did notice it, like they dress one way when a woman's directing them. And they dress a different way when a man's directing them. And, you know, as a man, I'm a fan of eye candy. But I can also see that it's a difference. And I don't mind any woman feeling a certain way, feel like, oh, now we can't wear armor. Like, what happened?
There was, I saw some of that. And apparently the costume director, actually, that was his call. Because he went through research over like 1,000 years of armor and battle and that. And that was supposedly going to be, like, the natural progression of, like, limited armor and this. And I'm like, I guess.
You're just going to leave your stomach bare because no one's going to aim there. They're just going to aim at underneath your breast.
Yeah, but at the same time, how many people are going to attack Paradise Island? Might as well get that tan going.
I know, look.
I mean, why are they wearing clothes on Paradise Island anyways, but...
Yeah, I know we talk about research and stuff, but come on. I'm like, he actually said that, research based on battle, they would be gotten it. Well, how come we ain't there now? I don't see any soldiers walking around with two pieces on. We have women in the military. So I guess somebody took a U-turn through the course of military history and decided maybe covering yourself is a good idea after all. So it's like, just say, you can't say it's like these women are gorgeous. And men are pigs, and we want to show off their six packs, so beat it. Don't have this whole, I did some research, and I'm based off, the Greco-Roman cause of history, and the Spartans, they decided, they wouldn't aim for the midriff anymore, because that's a cowardly move, so let's show it off for freedom when they're riding on a horse fighting against spaceships.
And see, and that's also my thing. They were in battle so much, what did it even matter? They weren't standing around just cutting sexy pose all the time. They were fighting most of the time.
Yeah.
So, like, why even bother? But maybe maybe they just wanted a different aesthetic. I don't know. Aesthetic that didn't matter, to be honest. But
I want to see tits. That's the aesthetic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the aesthetic. They talked about the whole thing with the male gaze and female gaze, and... It wasn't really noticed how bad it was until you saw Wonder Woman. Then you look like all the posters when the women butts sticking out and they got the arms pointing a certain way, like they don't have a spine, so their chests are sticking out, and they got their guns behind them while they doing a Victoria's Secret pose, and they walk in slow motion like the camera just zooms at certain parts. And like, yeah, it was cute. It might have been cute back when we were growing up. I'm trying to remember. Catwoman was the first movie I went to where I just felt dirty just watching it. Like, when I first noticed when they talked about male and women gaze, and that was like, what, late 90s or 2000s?
No, it was the 90s. It was late 90s.
It had to be that because it was after the Matrix movie. So I remember the guy from the Matrix was one of the villains. So it had to be like early 2000s or mid 2000s.
And not exactly on the upkeep today, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone was all hyped up for it. And
2004.
Yeah. Wow, I was totally wrong.
Oof. Yeah, and I remember watching that, and when she walked in with the cat suit, I'm like, yeah, she's going, like, I just felt dirty watching. Like, this just feels, like, I just felt, this just felt wrong. And now I noticed, like, that's the first time I noticed it then. And this one, like you said, they're fighting. So they don't even have time to do all that. So I'm like, what's the damn point? Especially in the atmosphere where it's definitely noticeable now. So, but yeah. Like, I like how they built toward the whole thing. Like, you know, these people and these tribes have been around for all this time. And, you know, they were basically protecting us. And, like, they kind of split apart. And now we bring them back together again. I like the whole fact where she knew Diana was alive, but Diana's not going to come there. So, like, you know, she knows she's out in the world. And I like how they explained the whole, what was Wonder Woman doing between World War One and now? And why was she doing that? It's kind of like, if she's this big hero, why wouldn't she be around? She's like, yeah, I kind of hit myself because I was getting over my boyfriend dying, how evil men were. And I never, like, got a chance to, like, get myself out of it. And I do like the, you know, we talked about chemistry before. Yeah, I like the chemistry between Batman and Wonder Woman. Because one, it reminds me of Justice League. Like, it's there, but it's not, like, overt. But it's kind of like, you know. And I like Alfred's cracking jokes. Like, the whole time, Bruce Wayne, like, I'm just there to recruit her, you know, for her talents. He's like, yeah, I'm sure you are, Master Bruce.
And then, what was it? No, I'm going out or something. And he goes, it's about time someone in this house had a date.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, for, you know, all the shit Ben Affleck brings upon himself, like, and outside of his movie roles, the dude's a pretty damn good actor. So it's like, can you just not be a dick? Like, just because, you know, I don't know how much it affected you. It didn't really bother me watching the movie at all, but it's like, because did you see, and then we'll wrap up, because I don't want to end on negative, but did you see the, like, one of the press junkets? And they were asking about adding members to the team or something. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was doing it jokingly, but the rest of the cast just looked down at him like, what are you doing? Like, it's like, yeah, it's fine. We know you're joking, but what are you doing? So, but I mean, it was all of them, too.
Yeah, I can just imagine, like, I was thinking about the press junkets, how that would be. Someone, cause I know they canceled the U.S. one. I'm like, why? I'm like, hey, Batman, you grope any women lately? Like, you don't want to deal with that if you're Warner Brothers. Yeah. Like, you want to, because it's kind of like, if you really look deep at it, between him and Jason Momoa with his, like, his stuff, and then I know people try to gloss over, like, Gal Gadot has said some kind of questionable things, to put it mildly, when comes to the whole, is because you gotta remember, she's not just Israeli, she's Israeli army, and she is very pro Israeli army. So you bring up Lebanon and Palestine, and you're going to hear things that you may hear from somebody that served that way that may sound different if you're on the other side. So, like, every now and then you go in there, like, you know, because, like, 99% love Gal Gadot, and it'd be the one person, like, yeah, ask her how she feel about Lebanese kids. Because she has said some stuff, like, basically, like, you know, they on the other side of my gun. They gonna catch it, more or less. Like, I don't care about age, so. Well, yeah, it's kind of like.
Considering where she came from, I mean, considering, like, her past life.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of, like, it's hard, like, you know, it's funny jumping to a pond that's not yours and telling somebody how they need to fish, because, like, you know, they did grow up that way, and it's kind of like, well, what do you expect? But on the other hand, it's like, it do sound kind of jacked up. But yeah, between all of that, it's like, I can see why they want to ignore certain things, especially now, because, like, they don't get caught slipping. Do not get caught slipping. Like, if at least Henry Cavill, the only thing he had to worry about is his mustache, and that's the perfect thing to wrap it up with. How petty are movie industries where it's this whole, it's in your contract, you can't shave it off. So for something that's probably not even that important in Mission Impossible, it's basically affecting your enjoyment of watching Justice League. Because it's like, we got to just let him cut it off.
Well, you wonder about the pettiness. I mean, so we're ending the show, of course, but do we really need to go into that? I mean,
yeah. I mean, yes, Hollywood, we know was, yeah, Hollywood's petty on multiple levels. I'm like, I'm sure when the end of the year show, we're going to have a list like everybody that's been acting up. That might be a damn two-part show the way these assholes have been moving.
Yeah, you know what I'm still waiting for? And I'm being dead serious here. I'm still waiting for the women to start getting called out. Because you've got enough, you know, I mean, just because you're a lesbian, just because you're a woman, doesn't mean you're not doing the same shit.
The only one...
I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres did a long time ago. There you go. I mean, she already had been. And I know she had some stuff with Portia Rossi. I think, like, they had some domestic issues that was like came out and then went away. It's like, oh, you know, yeah, that's what people go through. And like, oh, his name is nice. He danced. It's like one of those things where it happened at the right time. And now it may not, you know, if it happened now, it'd be noticeable. But yeah, some of this stuff just sound. And we said it.
Yeah.
The more stuff that come out, the worse is like these people are damn monsters.
And we'll end it. It's a hard one to end on, but I'm still confused. So I bring this up real quick. Louis C.K. got all of his shit canceled on Netflix. They actually took his stuff off Netflix. Okay? Danny Masterson is accused and actually, you know, police got involved in potential rape. All of his stuff is still on Netflix. I'm totally confused why that is. But
yeah.
Email us at stunkgranny@gmail.com. Let us know why you think that is. But I'm totally lost on that. Louis jerked off in front of some people. This guy choke raped somebody apparently, allegedly.
Scientology, pal.
Yeah,
that's fire. They got a long ass shadow, and their reach goes farther than Mr. Fantastic.
Ugh. On that note, guys. That was. Different. On that note, we're going to get out of here. So hopefully you liked us talking about Justice League. Go and see the movie for yourself. I think people are going to like it more than they like Superman Batman. And
yeah.
I think this one will actually help DC. So
it's doing well, but it's funny where it's going to be one of those people may say it's a disappointment, even though it's going to like make like $110-$115 million.
So we'll see. But yeah, so stunkgranny@gmail.com is the email, which I never remember to give out. On all of our podcast platforms, look for Stunkgranny or We Watch Stuff, because that's us. And yeah, that's it. So have a good weekend, and we'll get at you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati, and go to the bathroom before you start the movie. We are out.